right, that. So, first session, Pastor Nkechi, and a senior pastor, Carpenter's Church in Port Harcourt. Let's put our hands together for him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, Mafbek. Lift your hands to Jesus, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our focus is on you this morning. We're grateful for all you've done and all you're still doing. We're grateful for all you said and all you're still saying. Our hearts are open. Our ears are open, our eyes are open, and there's nothing you will say to us in these meetings that we will miss out on. That's our declaration of faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, the Lord likes it when we shout hallelujah. So somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. I just want to say thank you to Pastor Paul Juan, the whole of the Wabek gang, Pastor Tui. It's been a lovely time, as always. Hospitality, awesome. Ministry of the Word, amazing. There's nothing like ministering where people are drawing from you. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Amen. I supposed to have done this, but I always forget. I came in some of my books. They're outside. You may have seen them already. This is highly recommended. Dancing with Your Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. It's literally a manual on how to be led by the Holy Spirit, which should be the life of every believer. I don't know how many copies are outside, so if you're interested, you might want to get it. But it's, oh, the e-copies are also available on Amazon. So you can get that as well. The foreword was by Reverend Nico Amoshuka. And that's something I'm very proud of and excited about, that he wrote the foreword for this book. This is another classic that he's recommended, No Fear Here. It's been around for some couple of years now. And again, it's really recommended, No Fear Here. If you want to know how to live a bold, fearless life in your faith, you may want this book. This is by my father in the Lord, Winning in Crisis by Charles Omofuma. Again, this is recommended. There are other books there, but I just picked the ones I thought you might want to know about. Before that final Dancing with Your Spirit, I wrote two Dancing with Your Spirits, Volume 1 and 2, which are books of Psalms. I didn't know I could write Psalms until I got into some very dark moments of my life when my health came to the very edge and I almost lost my life. So in those nights, I found out that there were Psalms within me, and Psalms began to pour out, and that's part of what sustained me in that period. So again, particularly for the music people, you might enjoy Dancing with Your Spirit, Volume 1 and 2, books of Psalms. Any tuple in the choir can have this. Correct, guy. Correct. That's how you receive from God. The rest of were wondering if it was a dream. Who wants this? You see why you should sit in front? And who wants this? Winning in Christ. That was fast. Glory be to God. That's how you receive from God. Amen. If you pose for your miracle you pose. Correct. Yesterday, remember, it was my birthday. I actually meant to say it and I forgot. You know that birthday now? It was my January 5th miracle birthday. 4 years when the Lord raised me literally from an attack of the enemy. So yay! Testimonies never expire. And every January 5th is a memorial of the Lord's goodness in my life. Amen. Okay. We've been talking about life-giving sounds, and we've established that God speaks to us through life-giving sounds. We've also established that the purpose of the sounds are for us to be prompted into action. At the end of everything, when we discern those sounds, the reason we're discerning them, which we spend 2 days learning, is so that we can be prompted into action. At the end of the day, you've got to know what to do to receive what God has in store for you. Amen. We also said that there are different kinds of sounds, and there's a sound for everyone here. Has anyone heard their sounds so far? Oh yeah. Sounds have been coming out from this pulpit. There are sounds of a new life, sounds of danger, sounds of healing, sounds of direction, sounds of wisdom, whatever it is, there's a sound for you. Today I'm going to be talking about a sound that I believe when you hear the sound for you, it opens up the door into this particular sound. So literally, this sound is for everybody. Job chapter 14, verse 7. For there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, Yet, at the scent of water, what will happen? I can't hear you. It will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Wafbeck, today I came to prophesy to you and to tell you that I hear clearly the sound of a new day. Yeah. You didn't hear me? I hear the sound of a new day. Yeah. I hear the sound of a new day in your life. Yeah. I hear the sound of a new day in your life. Yeah. I hear the sound of a new day in your life. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Those areas of life that have grown old in the earth, those dreams that have been cut down, those visions that you've given up on, in these meetings, water has touched them. Oh, you didn't hear me. In these meetings, water has touched them. And my Bible says that when water touches something you have given up on, it will bud. Budding is taking place right now. Budding is taking place in wombs. Budding is taking place in businesses. Budding is taking place in ministries. Budding is taking place in families. Somebody shout hallelujah. I hear the sound of a new day. I hear the sound of a new day. I hear the sound of a new day. Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now we shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. In the physical realm, when there's a new day, a cock crows at dawn and begins, "Kukuruku! Kukuruku!" It's a new day. Well, I'm that cock. I'm the Wakbek cock. Hebrews 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. That word worlds means ages. He made the ages. Look at this. Various times, time past, last days, various ways, various people. You see, God is dynamic. God has been speaking, but he speaks in days and seasons. I'll say it again. God has been speaking. He doesn't speak once, and that is what he said. He speaks in days and in seasons. That's why you can't put God in a box. Friends, the only box that God will allow himself to be put in is the box of his will. That's the only thing that contains him. He does everything after the counsel of his will. If it's not his will, he's locked in. Many of us put him in other boxes, but that's not who he is. And that's why we miss our new day. Various times, various seasons, various ways, various people. Sometimes it's not who you expect, so you miss it. But that's who God is. Dynamic. Through the scriptures, he always spoke to his people in new days and new seasons. Go through it. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, the prophets, the kings, Joshua. Something new. And then God will declare something. God will interview. Why does he do that? Well, one reason he does that is he knows you cannot comprehend everything he has in store for you in one fell swoop. You can't. It will kill you. He cannot. He can't show you everything at once. So he chops it into days and seasons. He chops it into days and seasons. Each season, there's something new he wants to show you. Another reason he does that is pregnant in him, everything he has in store for you, only certain seasons can bring out certain things. If you don't enter that season, you will not get that thing. He does it in days and seasons. One, so that you can get what he has in store for you in bits, because you can't handle it all. There are some things that have been idling in your life for a long time. They are coming to pass this season. Yeah. They've been waiting for this season. They could not be born in the previous season. They will not be born in the next season. This is the season for them. Kokoroko! This is the season for them. In our country, it's a new day. There are certain things that could not have happened before this time. But in this time, they are happening. Imagine if the cock is crowing and you stay in bed. He says, is it morning yet? Express will leave you. Express will not leave us in God's new day. In the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what must you do? Lesson number one. Write it down. What must you do? First of all, you must walk into the new day. You must walk into the new day. You see, when God tells you it's a new day, do you know it's not new to God? I love the fact that the song we just sang now was Ancient of Days. Your new day is not new to God. It's new to you. It's not new to God. Let me show you the scripture. Look at this. I want to read it from the Kenneth Woost translation. I don't know if you have that. Impress me. Do you have the Kenneth Woost translation? I thought not. Let me read Hebrews 11:3. By means of faith, listen, we perceive that the material universe and the God-appointed ages of time were equipped and fitted by God's word for the purpose for which they were intended. I read it again. The God-appointed ages of time, like the one we're in now, they were already equipped and fitted by God's word for the purpose for which they were intended. There is a purpose for every new day. And God is not taken by surprise. It's not new to him. He's ready. He has equipped and fitted that day. This new day you stepped into has been equipped and fitted for the purpose is to achieve in your life. The new day our country has stepped into has already been equipped and fitted to achieve the purpose that God intended it to. But we must walk into the new day. We must walk into the new day. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Listen to this. Listen to this. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. If the Spirit of God is telling you things to come, it means God is constantly announcing this news. He's not hiding it. He wants you to know. Turn to someone and tell them you are in your new day. Turn to another person and tell, are you aware you are in your new day? Now, we read Isaiah 42:9. It says, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is now where problem they start. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. That word spring forth is a Hebrew word that literally means to bud. It shows when you plant a seed in the ground. When the seed begins to spring forth, you see, everybody say see. You see some green thing come out. Hey, this seed is bringing forth. Then you know that your seed is budding, right? Yes. But the Bible says God is announcing this new day before it springs forth. That is the problem. Before there is any sign
before there is any visible manifestation, while the clouds are still dry and empty, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. That is the pattern and the signature of God. And that very thing is why many of us miss our new day. So I came up here now. I announced why in a new day. Some of you checked. How? Is it the day in my marriage? That my husband, I didn't even sleep at home yesterday. You are checking it. There is no visible. But God said before. Everybody say before. Before it springs forth. Before it springs forth. Before your five senses can register it. Before there's any sign of it. It means, it means the new day is received in the spiritual realm. By your sixth sense. And all your other senses are paralyzed. You must be ready to disable your other senses. Disable your sight. Disable your feelings. Disable your hearing. Disable them. Disable them. Disable them. And the only sense enabled is your faith sense. Because God said before it springs forth. My daughter, who then was 12 years old, was to go to the U.S. was 13 for high school. And she didn't have a school. And anybody who knows how the U.S. system works knows that by March 10 is when the school's results are announced. Her older sister was already there. This is like 10 years ago. But she wanted to... she had to leave her school in Nigeria. That's another story. So we had to set her off at 13. But she didn't have a school. So we told her, wait till next year. She said, no, Mom. No, Dad, I'm getting my school this year. So, okay. We packed up to go for vacation and began to try to explain to her how it wasn't going. We the faith parents. Me, the pastor. Me, the anointed man of God. I was asking God for wisdom in how to explain to her that I will not work. I'm confessing it to you. It's okay. She packed her things, everything, because of the flight. She ran into one of her friends. You see, what you say you believe will be tested. They asked her, Chloe, where are you going? She said, I'm going to school. Me and Emeka, this girl don't crazy. It's past March 10th. There is no way she can get a school in America. There is no way. Unless in a toilet school. So I'm going to school. Is it your sister's school? She didn't answer. So she's going to school. She told everybody in the country, bye-bye. I'm going to school. We got to America. Okay, Daddy, I'm ready to go to school. Darling, but there's actually no school. So no, I have a school. Begin to look. So we called the consultant. Began to ask him. The man was like, Mr. Ellen, you are aware that school's admission has closed? He said, yes, I'm aware. Just look. And when you are looking, look for the first 20 high schools in the country. I don't want anything below number 20 in the whole country. Let me tell you, school we want. The man laughed. Okay, I will look. What's his own? We'll pay him money. We'll collect his money. He began to look. I'm cutting the story, cutting it short. Long story short, a particular school that was within the top 20 in the country. She went for the interview. No, they called her. Let me make story up. They called her. A girl who was in year 9, who had admission in that school. And the way they do admission, it is by sex and by age. So there's a quota for girls, a quota for boys, a quota for year 9 girls, and a quota for year 9 boys. That school, a girl who already had admission, year 9, walked out. She didn't want it again. Who do you think they called? The person who was ready for school when there was no school. And that is how that child spent 4 years in that school. When you understand that God declares your new day before it springs forth, if he needs to uproot, eject, manufacture things for you, he will do it. It all depends on you. With what sense do you receive the word? Sometimes too much brain is the problem. I met a first class in electronics engineering. When I met Pastor Charles, one day he called me and said, "Look, Ngechi, don't be mad. You see, this is your mass. Drop it. This is your mass. It will not help you. It will not help your ministry. Because when your brain is working mathematically, you will miss God. How does it make sense to pack up your things and go to school when there is no school and the deadline has ended? Before it springs forth, I will tell you of it." Glory be to God. So we must be attentive spiritually. We must open our ears to hear what he's saying. We must prophesy along with the prophets. Don't just come to church and say, "Hey, this prophet came and prophesied this thing today. Hiya! It was the anointed service." Look at what he says. Look at what he says in Isaiah 48. Turn to 48. You have heard this. Today is Friday at 1:00. You have heard enough. And there's still more you hear. Say, "I have heard it." Say, "You have heard it." Look at the next line. "Will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time. Even hidden things, and you did not know them." Will you not declare it? Sound. What sound is now coming out of your mouth? "Hi! Said this was powerful. The man of God just prophesied on our head." That's okay. But prophecy does not used to enter by osmosis and enter your spirit. You have to speak it. Will you not declare it? What are you saying in the face of ridicule, in the face of opposition, in the face of being scorned? What are you saying? One of my daughters decided that it was time for her to be married. She was done waiting. One of my adopted daughters. And so, we went and we made her wedding gown. Beautiful wedding gown. The woman who made it asked her, when was the wedding? She smiled. And said, "We're working on the date." I said, "Aren't you better making your gown early if you don't have a date? Because you can have the date anytime. Just make the gown." Sometimes these tailors ask too many questions. She made the gown. 6 months passed. 1 year passed. She refused to go and collect the gown. She let the guy say, "We're coming." At some point, the woman stopped calling her. Then, thank God, COVID now came. So the woman called and said, "I guess it's because of COVID. You people have moved your wedding." He said, "Eh." "It's all right, because of COVID, we moved the wedding." Long story short, when my son appeared, that gown must have been like 3 years old. It is the same gown she wore to wed. Before it springs forth, I will declare it. Will you not declare it as well? These are very simple truths, you know. But the problem is that we know it. But do we do it? We know it so much, it has become part of us, yet it's not part of us. This is the way you walk into your new day. You must walk into your new day. Somebody say, I must walk into my new day. You see, if you don't declare it, you will never experience it. You can never, ever experience the fullness of something you have not spoken about. I didn't say something God spoke about. I didn't say something prophet so-and-so spoke about. I didn't say something Pastor Boji spoke about. You will never experience beyond what you have spoken about. Forget about Faith 601, Faith PhD. Let us be doing Faith 101. Let us maximize Faith 101. Leave all the mysteries of Faith 735. Let us be doing Faith 101. You will never experience beyond what you speak about. Say, I must walk into my new day. Lesson two, you must walk away from the old day. You must walk away from the old day. This is another problematic factor. Because if there's a new day, it means there is an, he talked about former things. There are former things in your life. There are things you need to walk away from. Deuteronomy 2, go to verse 1. If I go to verse 2, and the Lord spoke to me saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward. That word skirted means you've revolved, you've surrounded, you've gone around this mountain. Now turn northward. Friends, you have skirted certain mountains long enough. It's time to walk away from the old day. You've been there. Turn me around, the same place. Fanaticism is when you keep doing the same thing, but you expect different results. You're doing it. Turn me around. There's a new day. You must walk away from the old day. Do you know why? Because the old day has expired. It has expired. When something has expired, it is no longer useful. May your ears be open to hear what I'm saying. It has expired. Some relationships have expired. Some jobs have expired. Recognize when the old day has expired. The story of the transfiguration, there was Jesus, there was Moses, there was Elijah. Oh, look at these glorious people. But what happened? Moses and Elijah left. Jesus was the only one left. There was a new day. Imagine if, as Moses and Elijah were going, Jesus was like, no, don't leave me. Stay. Or imagine if Moses and Elijah were supposed to go. I said, no, why should we go? We're meant to be here. They left. The fulfillment of the law and the prophets had come. There was no need for them anymore. The old day has expired. It's time to enter into your new day. On the 3rd, I believe it was, of October 2020, it was our National Day service in church, and I preached a message titled, Nigeria at 60, we are overdue for a generational shift. That was the 3rd of October. Less than 3 weeks later, we had the end SARS revolution. And the generational shift has not stopped since then in this country. Because the old day has expired. And one of the things I said in that message was the old people should let go and let the new generation come in. The old people need to step back. One of the greatest problems, not just in the country, but even in the church, is when there isn't a generational transfer. The old order has expired. It hasn't just expired, it has been replaced. But we find it difficult to let go. Very difficult. We hold on. But we're glued by our sentiments. We're glued by our emotions. We refuse to let go. I can imagine how traumatic it was when Moses died. Or Moses could not be found anymore. It must have been a struggle. You think if they buried Moses where the people could see him, there wouldn't have been a temple built there. I had a Moses in my pastor. When he passed, we didn't put his grave in the church. If we tried it, people would be going there to go and pray. So I went to hide it somewhere. In one of our property. Somewhere else. And the last message he preached, was a message titled, "It is finished." And the word he gave us for that year was, "Better things have come." But people left church because they refused to accept that there was a new day. They were emotional. They were glued. They were sentimental. But the prophet himself said, "It is finished. There's a new day coming. There's a new season." There are some relationships you need to walk away from. Understand they've been expired, then God can replace them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody? The old day has expired. There was a time when in the wilderness it was manna they were using to eat. But the Bible says at some point the manna did what? Ceased. It ended. Something better. The manna ended. There are times things happen in your life. It looks like something has ended. Something greater is starting. But we hold on. I remember when we had to move from our property that we rented for the church. We didn't have any land then. And we were comfortable in that place, no? Nice hall, rug, carpets, We like to lie down and worship. We're fine. Then one day from nowhere, the man started acting like Obanji. Wonderful landlord, we had no problem with. He just began to say, we should go. Nobody was going to use the hall. We went, me and pastor went, we sat down, we spoke with him. The man just basically insulted us for nothing. So we finally got into our thick brains that we had to enter a new day. It is from there we bought our property. And from there we began to expand. And pastor said, everything around here will swallow. And we've been swallowing, and we're still swallowing. We would never have entered there if we were not kicked out of where we were. We would never have been where we are now if we were not kicked out. When we were kicked out for running 2 full services, we got down to like 100 people. Because the road was bad, the place was bush, these many ministry stories. People left. They've all come back now. It's our church. Pastor, you know me now. It's our church. I used to be there. But when it was hot and hard, you left. My point is, if we didn't get kicked out, we would never have entered in. May you be kicked out of some places. May you be kicked out of places you don't belong anymore. May that kicking out show you that your new day is here. May you step into realms and places that have been prepared for you before the foundation of the world. May you be kicked out of places that have expired in your life. My family is very connected to the vision of the ministry. So we find out that things, my APA school higher, we find that things happen in the ministry and they literally happen to us. It just happens. Before we observe it over time. So when this sort of kicking out of thing happened, not too long after, some time after, we saw the same pattern in our lives. Emeka and I had literally, we are like pastors raised us, so we just don't hunger for anything really beyond what we know is the will of God for us. We were in a rented house for 24 years. My mother used to cry, okay, won't you put me in the house? See all your sisters. See your beggar's mates. Build the house now. We're fine. Just doing the work of the ministry, doing his business. I was doing 24 years. Then one day the landlady just said, I should have a house. Madam, we literally built this house for you. We have put so much money into this house. Don't speak English. She wants her house. She became literally violent about it. She literally kicked us out of our comfort zone. We had had property land since. We had to go and literally build the house in I don't know how many months. If not, we would have been homeless. Our eyes finally opened to understand that it was a new day. May you be jacked out of your comfort zone. May you be ejected from your comfort zone. So you can get into what God has in store for you. Lift your hands and give him praise. God is no longer dealing with the old. No matter how used to the old you are. Many times we hold on to the old because we want a warranty. A guarantee of safety. So we hold on. Because if we drop it, it's unknown territory. That is faith. Faith is unknown territory. But we hold on. We corrupt the new day by holding on for a warranty in the old day. When this transition in 2013 happened, of course I was overwhelmed with the call that had landed on me. I refused to move into the presiding pastor's office. I stayed in my office for almost a year. I refused to move. I just walked in the office. And any time I'm preaching, I found out that I do that a lot now again. But then, literally every message, I must reference Pastor Charles. I wasn't doing it the way I do it now out of honor. I was doing it then for a warranty. Because I felt I would be accepted if I mentioned his name. So literally every message, I will mention his name. And like Pastor said the other day, like me and Pastor used to say, that one day the Holy Spirit said, do you want this people to accept you as their pastor? Do you have that desire? I said, yes. He said, then stop it. Let go. Stop it. Stop calling his name. Stop it. My hand is upon you. Go out there and do what I've told you to do. Stop looking for a warranty. You will never step into your new day if you hold on to warranties from your old day. That's why some of you are not married. There are some relationships you know are in the old expired day. But they give you some warranty, so you hold on. One slap here, one adultery there, one fornication there. Just hold on. There's some level of security. Maybe you will finally marry me. He said, I should stop it. So I stopped it. And I found out I was the one holding back the acceptance I was looking for. I was holding it back by holding on to a warranty from the old day. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Am I speaking to someone this morning? You must let go of the old day. You see, if as believers we don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, if as believers we don't understand the dance with the Holy Spirit, if as believers we cannot be led by the Holy Spirit, if as believers our sixth sense is not more activated than all the other senses which need to be disabled, we are of most men most miserable. Because God is spirit. God is spirit. God is spirit. That is how he relates to you. You must be more cognizant of the spiritual realm than any other realm. And the spiritual realm is not, I'm in the spiritual realm. I'm in the spiritual realm. Man, I get revelations on the toilet seat. In the midst of some kind of sense that you don't want to be there. It's not all that. It's not splashing oil around the place and not wiping your face with handkerchiefs. That's nothing. You must develop yourself. Develop your sixth sense. Practice the presence of God. Practice hearing the voice of God. Teach your children to practice the presence of God before there are big stakes involved. But we hold on because we're used to it. We hold on because we've had victories in the old day. There was success in the old day. Sometimes your last success is the greatest opposition to your next success. And you know that. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Leviticus 26:10. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old. Note the next words. Read it with me. Let's read it again together. One, two, go. Say it again. Do you see a problem in that verse? Listen, you're not clearing out the old harvest because anything dwam. You are clearing out the old harvest because the new has come. Sometimes, when the old day has expired, it doesn't mean it is bad. That is where your spiritual senses come. You just know that it is time. You just know. Don't think change only comes because where you are living is bad. Somebody missed that. Don't think change only comes because where you are living is bad. Where you are living may be good. You are eating the old harvest, nothing to am. Hey, the new has come. Out. Out. It's time for the new. You must walk into your new day. You must walk away from your old day. And the last lesson, you must embrace your new day. You must embrace it. How do you embrace your new day? Luke 5:36. Then he spoke a parable to them. Some churches have stagnated because they couldn't step into their new day. Some churches that were they were beacons for us, they couldn't step in. Some companies are dead because they couldn't step into their new day. There was no transition plan, so the dream died. He spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and the piece that was taken out from the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine would burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins would be ruined. But the new wine must be put into new wine skins, and both are preserved. The real question is this: does your mind have the capacity to handle the new day? Does your mind have the capacity to handle the new day? Is your mind a new wineskin or an old wineskin? Is God coming with new wine and pouring it and things are scattering? Because your mind cannot contain it. Your greatest assignment as a believer is first of all to renew your mind with the Word of God. To begin to think like God. When you find yourself saying, your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not my ways. I don't say that. I'm going, don't worry, from here I'm taking my flight. Scoot up, we talked about context yesterday. Scoot up. Let the wicked man forsake his ways. Are you wicked? Last time I checked, you are righteous. Your thoughts are meant to align with his thoughts. Your ways are that you are a son. If you don't think like him, if you don't talk like him, who are you going to think? Such confessions are killing you. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways. So whose thoughts do you want to have? That's why you're thinking like Satan. Whose thoughts do you want to have? Whose way? Not be your papa. Is the fatherhood of God a revelation to you? He's your father. If you spend time with him, you shall must think like him. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? So God hits you with new wine, but an old wine skin. You don't have the capacity. And day in, day out, opportunities are passing you by. God daily sends opportunities our way. Daily. Are you seeing them? Kukuruku. You may not see anything. Cuckoo, cuckoo. God himself honors the needy. When Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross and he said it is finished, many things happened. But the Bible said that the veil of the temple was rent from where? I like this church. From top to bottom. Why not from bottom to top? Because human being can tear it. Human being can come and be climbing, right? So to make sure it is clear, no human being do one. The Bible is clear to tell you it was rent. It is the hand of God that takes you into your new day. No man will do it. When you try and arrange it, it will backfire. From top to bottom. But watch this. Where had God been all this while? Behind the veil. That was the old day. That was his comfort zone. I like to put it this way. God was trapped behind the veil. God knew. He knew that there was a God-appointed age that was coming. He was patient, trapped behind the veil. But when the day came, when the day came, God said, let me out. That is what happened that day. The veil was rent and God walked out. But he didn't just walk out, he walked in to you and you and you and you and you and you and you. Multiple addresses. God could have said, let me stay where I am. Finally, the day has come. I can be set free from this holy of holies. And for everyone who accepts Jesus, for every kindness criticism, I've got myself a temple. God changed address. God changed address. God said, you're not going to find me there anymore. You send any mail to the Holy of Holies, it's going to bounce. You want to find me? Check in Ngozi. You want to find me? Look for Bimbe. You want to find me? Check in Haruna. Anyone who has Jesus, I've changed address. Some of you need to change address. Some of you need to leave where you have been. This is a specific word for many of you here. You need to get up and change address. I don't preach quickly about people leaving churches because there's too much shifting cultivation in the body of Christ. But some of you watching online, you need to leave where you are. You know why? God has left. And you know it. The place is Ichabod. What are you still doing there? God has left. There are some places, until you step into them, you will never fulfill purpose. You will never kiss destiny. I also don't talk about this often, but in a few cases, very few, but they exist, some of you need to leave your marriages. Very few. Yes, it's a dangerous area, but we don't talk about it. So people are dying in their marriages. people are contracting disease in their marriages. Very few, having done many steps, having done all things you need to do, there are few cases, but they exist, that you need to leave. Nice to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. 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 There's just one thing I want to say. My time is up for 1 minute and I'll take my seat. There's a woman. God told about you yesterday, but I didn't have the time. I don't want to leave with this. There's a woman, you hurt your child. I don't know what kind of hurt it is. Maybe when you're with a child alone, you beat the child in a way. And the child is small. Maybe frustration from childbirth. I don't know what it is. But you're hurting your child. And you don't like it. Before the enemy takes advantage of you, God wants to help you. I'll ask that you reach out to your pastor if you're here. If you're online, send an email, something. Just reach out for help. God has seen you. And God wants to help you and wants to help that child. You're not a bad woman, but you can stop. Lift your hands and give him praise.